Man, thank you for praying for me. I appreciate that. You know, one of my favorite shows that I watch is The Undercover Boss. And the part that really gets me is that, hey, Brent. The part that really gets me is when the boss reveals himself to the people, and he's a blessing to the people. And when I watched that video, that's what you guys were doing. You guys were being a blessing to the people there. The gospel went out, and you know something? We don't know how far that gospel is going to go out. We don't know how many people that gospel of your servanthood and serving the people down there. You don't know. There'll be people thanking you in heaven for your sacrifice for 1 week going down there to serve other people. I love the gospel. I love serving people. I love seeing people turning their right lives around for Jesus. I absolutely love it. Because, you know, I was that guy one day. I was desperate, and I needed a change. I needed a change in my life. I did. I thought money was going to do it. I thought relationships was going to do it. I thought all these different things were going to do it for me. And this is not even my notes. Oh, my God. I hope I get there. You know, I was a lost ball in high weeds. The weeds are really tall, and the ball was really small. And I tell you, God in his magnetic touch reached out in those tall weeds. He touched my life and placed a love in me for people that I didn't have prior to that. And I remember times where I wanted to shut it off. I just like, God, I don't want to love people anymore, because it hurts to love people. He says, son, I gave you that as a gift to my body. I want you to love my people. Well, here I am, 60 years old, on stage, crying, still love Jesus. Still love Jesus. And still preaching. You know, Brent, it is such a blessing to see you here, brother. Thank you so much for being here. I remember years ago, Brent and I used to go downtown and preach the gospel and watch people get saved. And I remember going downtown preaching the gospel. And Brent, if you don't mind me sharing, we went downtown, and Brent was unsaved. He was unsaved. After events of people preaching the gospel, here we are. We have Brent Silverbauer married to his wife, two wonderful kids, and all of that came because of preaching the gospel. We just want to thank God for that. Can we thank God for how the gospel changes lives, changes the trajectory of people's lives, gives hope to the hopeless? So now I guess I can get into my message here. My wife told me to spit out my gum, take a deep breath. She told me to take my jacket off because I was going to be hot, but I'm cold, so I'm going to leave it on. I guess we'll start here. My daughter, Eva, listened to me bring the message, and she said, Dad, some of those things that you have in there are out of order. And I said, how should I do this, Eva? And she said, and she marked them off, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I appreciate her.
My daughter told me how to do the message, and my wife typed it out for me. I'm telling you, I'm a blessed man. I really am. So here I am. Hi, my name is Jonathan Carter. I'm the husband of Elise. She's back in the back serving children. And I love that. I love that I get to be married to her. I'm blessed to be her husband. And just because her being in my life has changed the trajectory of my life. And the father of Eva. And I'm becoming Eva's dad, not Jonathan anymore. So I'm becoming Eva's dad. So that's a really cool thing. And I am really blessed to be her dad. I'm proud to be her dad. She's changed my life. She, you know, I have two older sons, and they're adults. And I love my children. I love my sons. It was just different raising boys than it is a girl. I think my daughter reached inside at birth. She reached inside, went through my chest, and grabbed my heart, and she's had it ever since. So thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to share a message with these beautiful, sensational people, because you are. You guys are beautiful, sensational people. Sunshine, thank you for coming. Thank you and that beautiful baby. And we were talking about just how handsome that little boy was all day after we saw you last Sunday. My goal and hope for today is that at the end of the message that we'll be inspired to share the gospel or our story with others based on how God has designed us, not based on how somebody else is doing it. You being in Mexico, I wasn't able to be in Mexico, but I am so blessed by what I saw you do in Mexico. I'm not a missionary. I tried that. I really did. I tried being a missionary. I did. I did. And in 1996, I walked away from work and I joined YWAM, and I thought that I was going to be a missionary. And I'm back. It didn't last very long. I just knew that that wasn't something that I was called to do. But you know something? I was blessed by how God used the people there in Atlanta and all over the world. And number two, that we will be encouraged to seek the Lord and other people to help us move past fear into faith to share our story. I'm not saying that fear will go away. Not saying that. I'm a little nervous right now standing up here. I'm a little nervous. This has been a long time since I've stepped on this platform and do what I'm doing right now. However, we're going to move past fear. That means I'm not going to get stuck in fear. I'm going to move in faith, believing that this message is going to touch lives and change lives out there. I believe that. It's already started. So let's look at the text. I got one text. I guess not. So if you want to open your Bibles and go with me to Romans 1:16. Go to Romans 1:16. Oh, it's up there. Sensational. Thank you. Appreciate you. And it reads, I am not ashamed of the gospel. In some translations, it puts in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to put in Jesus Christ. So I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to all that believe, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. At first glance, a couple of words stand out to me. A couple words. One is being ashamed. The definition of ashamed is feeling inferior, inadequate, or embarrassed. So who in here has ever felt inadequate, inferior, or embarrassed? Me too. This message is really, I had to go back and change some wording in the message, because the first person that this message is ministering to is me. So I'm really just a voice, but I'm really sitting there and I'm hearing it also. So we're doing this together. This whole thing of moving shame and moving inferior inadequacy and embarrassment. I'm in there with you. So I want to share a testimony. When I first came on board as a believer, I absolutely love Jesus. I still do. I still absolutely love Jesus. At this time, I didn't know anything else. I had just moved here from Monterey. I didn't have like a boatload of friends or anything like this here. What I did have was the Bible. I did have a VHS player. It's an old way of watching videos before MP3, MP4. What is that, Brent? I'm right? Whatever. One day in my quiet time, in my worship time, it was great. I was just worshiping the Lord, and I just really felt connected to Jesus in that moment. And I had, prior to that, I had given away my car to this family that didn't have a car, and they were struggling. And so I gave away my car, so I didn't have a car. So I rode the bus to work. So, God is thoroughly taking care of me. I am blessed. So I got on the bus, and I had my backpack and all my things inside of the backpack. And God, I really felt like the Lord asked me, "How do you feel right now?" And I said, "God, I feel great." And then I really felt like He was nudging me to go and share the gospel with someone on the bus. And it's not that He speaks to you. It's just like, you know. So when I turned around, I looked at this one person, and I knew that that person was the person. And I wasn't overjoyed. I wasn't let's do this, God, all those different things. That was not my first response. My first response was, God, you got to get me in there. I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before. I was like Moses, giving God all the excuses. And I felt like He told me to look in my backpack. So I looked inside of my backpack, and there was a track. I don't know how it got in there, but there was a track inside of my backpack. And so I walked over to the guy. He was reading a paper or a book or something like this here. I walked over to him. I handed him the track. And I shared with him, I said, you know something, instead of reading that, why don't you read this? And I went back and sat back down. And he came over and he says, I know this is God. I know this is God. He says, my mom and my dad are deacons at a church in Oakland. And I know my mom has been praying for me. And I just walked away from God and all these different things. And I just asked, so what do you want to do about it? I said, do you want to give your life to Jesus? He's like, yeah. So I took the pamphlet back from him. because a Romans Road was on there and I didn't know how to do it, so the pamphlet had it on there. So and I read through it. We read through it together. And at the end, he surrendered his life to Jesus. And it was awesome. I thought it was awesome. You know, on Thursday nights, we pray for our prodigals, our children that have went wayward and all those different things. So, you know, I just believe as we are here ministering to the prodigals that are here, somebody's going to minister to our prodigals there. We believe that God will do that. So why there were in when there the family was in Oakland praying for him, God sent me. Just like God sent you guys to Mexico, because somebody down there was praying for a home. And he sent you. And he sent you. You know, when we look at the word ashamed, one of the things that I, when I was in my quiet time this morning, the word neutralize came up. That, and how I can form it was that that inferiority, inadequacy, and embarrassment about the gospel are weapons used by the enemy to neutralize your faith and your ability to bring the gospel. So that's his strategy, is to neutralize you. But God has another strategy. God has another strategy. Another testimony I wanted to share, and it's not mine. It's is a guy's that was on staff at a church in San Jose, and he was sharing with us his recommitment to Christ, and this is his story. It's like when he came to Chico State. To go to college, he fell into the party scene and he walked away from his faith. He said after bar hopping, him and his drinking buddies used to get approached by Christians downtown who were out sharing their faith, sharing the gospel. He and his friends used to get a kick out of asking them questions that believers just couldn't answer about dinosaurs and all types of other weird stuff. They would ask those questions. And they would get a kick out of them struggling to answer those questions and all those different things. However, one night this young lady came to those guys and she was sharing her faith. And they started their lines on asking her these ridiculous questions. And he said the last thing he remembered in the conversation was is that her response to him was, I might not have all the answers to your questions, but what I do know is what I'm saying is true. She burst into tears, and she ran off. Him and his buddies, they got a kick out of that, and he eventually went home, and he was trying to fall asleep, and he couldn't. And he remembered hearing these words from the Lord. He says, the Lord says to him, you hurt my daughter. Like, you hurt my daughter. And he said that he came under a major conviction. He cried out to God for mercy. He repented, and he gave his life to the Lord. And he's been serving the Lord ever since. We just don't know. We just don't know what part we play in somebody else's story. We don't know. But if we don't get out there, we would never know. In Psalms 51, King David writes this in verse 12. He says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I would teach transgressors your ways so that sinners were turned back to you. Sign me up for that one. Sign me up for that one. Sign me up for that one. So when we think about sharing our faith or preaching the gospel and we begin to feel inadequate, we should, number one, we should pray. When we think about it, not actually when you're in the throes of doing it, but when you're thinking about it, you're thinking about, it's like, you know what, I would really like to share my faith with people. I would really like to serve people. If those thoughts come up and then the thought of inadequacy comes up, one thing that we should do is pray and ask God and trusted people, what lie am I believing? If you feel inadequate, there's a reason why you feel inadequate. If you feel embarrassed, there's a reason you feel embarrassed. What lie am I believing about feeling inferior, inadequate, or embarrassed about the gospel or myself? Number two, address the issue. So whatever comes up out of that conversation with you and God or you and other people, address the issue. Go after it. In Proverbs 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. So basically all that means is the medium of exchange for the truth is your lie. You have to be willing to give up your lie in order to purchase that truth. Yeah. The other word that stood out to me in Romans 1:16 was the word gospel. Definition of the gospel is good news. It's good news. However, in order for us to receive good news, we have to understand there's bad news. The Bible says that none are righteous. No, not one. In and of ourselves, we're not. Because we all have broken God's laws. And the Bible says the sentence for breaking God's laws is permanent separation from him in a place called hell. Now, you know, I know. Sharing that word hell sometimes can be a little touchy or offensive or all those different things. Listen, everybody's touchy about something. Everybody gets offended about something. The truth of the matter is if you're offended at the gospel, the power of God for your salvation won't be in you. So I would rather offend you and tell you about the gospel than the alternative of you going to hell. So another passage of scripture I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for you, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. And most of them, he said, were still living at that time, though some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then he appeared to all the apostles, and last he appeared to me also, one born out of season. In Mark 1:14 and 15 says this, John was put into prison. Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Like I said earlier about buying the truth and selling it not, you can't have your truth and his truth at the same time. One of the truths has to go away. Because the truth you're currently holding on to, if you haven't accepted the truth, is a lie. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But however, like I said, I would rather offend you now than for you to be offended for a lifetime, eternally. So, John, how do I position myself to receive the good news? Great question. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, your Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confession, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who calls upon him. For everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going to take a pause break. And if this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God is here right now to save you, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do it right here and right now. I invite you to. I remember when my life was in shambles and I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm not telling you that the gospel was a magic wand. I'm telling you, but something did change. Something did change. I have a ton of mistakes and a ton of successes. However, I know him. But most importantly, he knows me. So, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you know, I'm going to pray right now. We're going to all pray right now. Why don't we all pray right now? We're going to pray right now. So we're going to pray. And if you haven't received him, make this your prayer. Make this yours. This, you own this. This is your prayer. This is your day of reckoning. This is your day. And this is your prayer. Father, I give my life to you today. I look at the landscape of my life, and I see that I've made a huge mess out of my life. God, please forgive me of my sins. God, please restore my life. A life that pleases you. And I thank you so much for, one, forgiving my sins, and two, accepting me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know something? If you prayed that prayer, please, after service is over, please just come talk to somebody. Somebody, let somebody know that happened for you. Because that's only the first part of your journey, is giving your life to Jesus. The second part, we need to be trained. Our thinking needs to get changed. We need to be around godly people. We need to be around people that's going to encourage us, help us, pray for us. The Bible says he places the lonely in families. And you know something? If you don't have a godly family, we want to invite you into ours. Remember this about your story. The best way to tell his story is to know your story. The best way to tell his story is to know your own. And here are some benefits of the gospel. I have this in my notes. It says, go with me to Psalms 103, 2 through 5. I didn't do a very good job of getting the scriptures back there, but if you have the scriptures with you, and if you don't have the Bible with you, you can go with me with your phone. The Bible says, bless the Lord. Oh, wait. I hear pages. All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. I'll give you an example of this. Most of you know that I work for Costco, and my job is the outside marketer or the business marketer. And part of my responsibility is to train our membership clerks on how to present the Costco membership to our potential members. My constant reminder to them is that Costco gave you the executive membership. They gave it to you. The company gave this to you as a perk of your employment. The company wants you to know and experience the benefits of this particular membership. So when you're asked, you can communicate the membership with confidence. With confidence. Listen, I don't have my Bible up here, forgive me, but I would have had. Can I borrow yours for a minute? We have this. We read this every single day. Listen, we should be able to talk about what's inside of this leather cover to this leather cover with confidence. With confidence. You have to understand something. They don't have what you have. Even if all you have is John 3:16, they don't have that. They don't have it. I want to encourage us, me too. Me too. Thank you, Pastor. We used to do something years ago. We called it the Prayer 3. Remember that, Brent? Prayer 3. So basically, it's a strategy. It's a strategy. Did I see the strategy work? Yes. We prayed for three people for 30 days, and then we invited them to an event. Simple. Pray for three people for 30 days and invite them to an event. But we always had events going on, so we already knew that we were targeting people as they were coming in to share the gospel with them, and if they were ready, lead them to Christ. But we can do that. We can pray. We can pray for our neighbors. Praying for your neighbors, is you're serving them. When you're praying for them, you're serving your neighbors. When you're asking God to bring peace in their home, you might not know that the husband is being battered in that home. The kids could be being battered in that home. You don't know. But if you're praying, God will answer you their prayer on behalf of you, because he wants to answer your prayers. We don't know. But if we never do it, we'll never know. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and I say this in closing. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses. You know, I put P there because I wanted to pause for a minute and to think, man, who is in that great cloud of witnesses? Who is in that great cloud of witnesses? And number two, what are they saying? Well, for sure, I know Jesus is in that great cloud of witnesses. I know he's in there. And if I'm doing what I'm tasked to do, he's going, yeah. If I'm getting off task from what I'm supposed to be doing, he's encouraging me anyway. The Bible says that he disciplines, he chastens those that he loves. So you know something? Listen, either way is yay for you. If he's disciplining you, that means that you're his. If he's shouting for you, that means that you're his. So it's a win-win for us. So, but you know, it's like I thought about, like, man, is the Apostle Paul in there? You know? Is grandma in there? Is my brother in there? Man, who makes up these great cloud of witnesses, you know? I mean, I have absolutely no idea, you know? But I know what they're doing is that they're celebrating us and they're encouraging us. It's like, you know what? You got a flat tire. Tony, you know what? You can do this. You can get up. you know what, man, I'm going to send resources to you. But you know what? Don't give up. Don't give up. There's a village of people waiting for you to show up with that team. Don't you give up. Don't give up, Brent. You know what I mean? You have gifts. You have calling. You have talent on your life. Don't give up. Because there's a village of people waiting to hear the gospel the way God will want to speak it through you. Don't give up. That's encouragement. The cloud of witnesses, they are encouraging us. And they are encouraging us to do what? Lay aside or throw off every hindrance and the sin that easily entangles us. And it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Not yours, not my race. We get caught up in running somebody else's race. It's like, no, the race that is marked out for you. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. I learned it from the King James from memory. It says the author and the finisher of your faith. But as it's written here, my wife didn't grow up with King James. She says the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. For the joy that was set before him, we're switching. We're talking about Jesus now. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, or in King James, despising his shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. Now I'm going to go back to the right hand of the throne of God before I pray. When the Bible says that the joy that was set before him, that joy is at the right hand of the throne of God, which is a great place to be. And I'm gonna venture to say, because the scripture supports it, that he's made you to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm not gonna drink any more wine until I drink it with you in heaven. What is, you know, we look at it and say that he was waiting just to get back to God. I mean, he's God himself. He's waiting for the culmination of this whole thing to get wrapped up so he can drink that wine with you. That was the joy set before him. You are the joy that was set before him. You are the joy that was set before him. You, Phil, are the joy that is set before him. Last call. If you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, please don't leave without telling somebody. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, so much for your precious gospel. The Bible says it is the power of God for salvation, for all who believe. So, Father, we just ask, God, in Jesus' name, God, that you can sweep through here with a supernatural belief. God, you can do it. God, you can heal hearts. God, you can change minds about themselves and about the gospel. God, you can do all of this. But we're asking you to do all this, God. We thank you, God, so much. And thank you, God, that you're here with us today. And you're here to change hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen.